As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. McMonagle and McPherson back with you here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Filling in for Evan and Tiki this afternoon. Talked a lot about the Giants. And we still will, because listen, we got to... Keith and I both think that the regime is safe, that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are both coming back. But let's be honest, both franchises do have decisions to make at the end of this year. The Jets have already made their decision on what they'll do. And obviously now they're looking at coaching candidates, which is, again, we talk about the Trinity. You were talking about it before. Again, they're going about it in a backwards way. I think the coach is the more, like with this particular team right now, you can argue the coach is as important as the GM. The GM is always, you know, running the team. But I think this particular team in this particular situation, depending on what they do, certainly if they bring back Aaron Rodgers and you got to, like, smooth over the roster, figure out how to get Garrett Wilson happy, like, there's a lot to do with this head coach. But still, without a head coach, without a GM in place, they are now interviewing different head coaching possibilities. And Ron Rivera's name has come up here, and I just... like, I don't know. We talk about hockey and retreads as much, and I don't want to call Ron Rivera a retread. He had a very successful run in Carolina, not so much in Washington. You know, was he, you know, in a tough situation with a miserable owner and a miserable franchise there? Yeah, he was. But I don't know if Ron Rivera... I understand the fear and trepidation of going to a first-time head coach. It has not worked well for the New York Jets. And other than Ben Johnson, is there that, like, because he seems to be the name that anyone would go to. Mm-hmm. He's been that successful. And you even saw plays last night that just, like, he is an incredible offensive coordinator. He's done an incredible job with that Lions offense. He's the one guy that you probably would forego any fears of first-time coordinator-type hire. So I understand you're looking at more of the experienced NFL head coach. But Riverboat Ron, that is not as respected as he is throughout the league. That does not excite me as a New York Jets fan. Would you consider Ron Rivera a good hire for the New York Jets right now?
No, and I mean, shout out to Ron Rivera. He had some success in his career, and he's getting up there in age. I don't think he's a real coaching candidate. I think he's just somebody that you interview right now because you can. He's not currently coaching in the NFL. And what I feel like the 33rd team, Woody Johnson and the Jets are doing, they're collecting data points. Yeah. They are gathering intel. They didn't want to interview Bill Belichick, and I'm like, why not interview Bill Belichick to pick his brain to see? I would have led him along. I would have led him down this road of thinking that you're the guy and then would have pulled the rug from under him. So even with Rex Ryan, I joked about John Gruden. Why not interview these former head coaches and ask them, what would you do to fix the team?
Just to get as much information as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Rex Ryan especially, what did you do that worked? What do you see with this Jets team that... you know, doesn't resemble the Jets teams that you've had. Yeah. I try and collect all the information that I can from these guys and then apply it to the search that's going to happen in a couple weeks when we get to Black Monday, you know, when the season's actually over and, you know, you can interview a Brian Flores or a Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because there are players, coaches right now who are still obviously coaching, and they're unable to interview, so you're hearing names like this.
And certainly Vrabel the best now, ones, because they're
Vrabel's going
to the playoffs.
Vrabel's contract has run out with Cleveland, so he's able to... Was it Cleveland? When I think...
Yeah, he's with the Browns. Yeah. He's like a player personnel.
Yeah, I don't know why it just sounded wrong when it came out of my mouth.
Ohio,
but
right.
I think his contract's run out, so they're going to be able to interview him coming up shortly if he's open for the job. But, like, yeah, Ron Rivera would be a name that would fall short for me as someone to come and lead this Jet team, because I would want someone who I feel is, you know, at the beginning point of this. I don't want, like, how many years is Ron Rivera going to do it? And I don't want to...
Yeah, I wouldn't want a bridge head coach.
Yeah, exactly. I want someone who's going to come in here and run this thing and really, you know, bring a gravitas. I don't think, as well as he's respected, I don't think he has that gravitas. I either want the hotshot offensive guy who's going to come in here and change the offense, or I want a absolute stud leader. And I don't know if I view Ron Rivera as that. So, I mean, we'll see. The Jets are in a tricky spot, though, because... And, you know, it's funny, too, with the Jets, too. Everyone's focused on the wrong thing. Like, I got a real kick out of... Like, this is just my problem with fans in general. Because, obviously, this Jet coaching hire, I think, is critical moving forward here. But the current head coach is not part of it. And we still get so mad at different... Like, it's
quotes?
Why are we hung up?
He's getting zero consideration for the head coaching job. Who cares what he says?
It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. We all know the disaster that trade has been. Like, we know Hassan Reddick is coming here. He's been brutally bad. The entire defense has been bad since they fired the coach. But he held out. It was a disastrous trade. He's come here. He's got one sack. He's got two quarterback hits. Like, it's been a disaster.
He's unselfish. And you should know that about him, Chris. If you had any type
ridiculous.
Of predisposition well, about him or
I know.
His teammates, he's the
but
most unselfish guy he's ever been around.
But, like, I see so many people mad about it. I heard Moose yelling about it, and I understand it's a ridiculous statement. And what's funny is that when he was brought into, part of the reasoning was that we need to hold people accountable. Our new favorite word, accountable, accountability. We got to hold people accountable. And Ulbrich was going to come in here and actually hold people accountable. The quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, was when Salah talked about the cadence might have to change or whatever. Mm-hmm. What was Rodgers' response? Not the cadence doesn't need to change. The accountability needs
to
change.
Offensive lineman.
Like, yeah, right. We need to be
hold
more accountable. Right. So the idea was he was going to come in and hold people accountable. I think what we're learning in the NFL, and really in all professional sports, coaches aren't going to come in and just suddenly, like, roll over these teams the way they might have done in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
You can't.
The relationship, the players, everything has changed about how professional athletes handle business in today's atmosphere.
Jeff Ulbrich wants another job.
Absolutely.
He's done here.
He's not going to bash players publicly.
Because he might run into them at the next destination.
Or just the idea that, you know, when you start talking about hiring a head coach or whatever, coordinator, I don't know if he's got a good relationship with his players, he's bashing them publicly in press conferences. Like, I don't know is the statement silly? Should he have not said anything rather than say,
listen,
the guy who held out all year and has been awful is one of the more selfless players I've ever coached? Yes, it's absurd. The comment jumps out to me as stupidity and a hard sell and insulting our intelligence. But at the same time, who cares? Why do we get hung up on what coaches say in the postgame?
Because you can't care about the game. They were getting smacked. There's nothing to say about the game. If we want to go back to Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions, you know, pointing at Yeboa, go more straight across the field, not up across the field. Make a better throw. If I'm Jeff Ulbrich, right, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone else. Because we could point the finger at you. You have no idea what to do as a coach to win a game, to call timeout, win the challenge. So he has no leg to stand on as far as criticizing players. He can't even come out and say, like, yeah, some guys seem checked out after Sauce Gardner comes out and says, Sauce Gardner checked out.
Yeah.
Sauce, you didn't play the second half. And I would take your word for it, being a player, looking at other players. There were some disgruntled players on the sideline. Like, when Sauce comes out to say, yeah, you know, we're not making the playoffs, some guys are checked out, Jeff Ulbrich won't even echo that.
Yeah. No. I think we're learning as
didn't see it on the tape.
These coaches aren't going to admit
stuff
like this.
Who didn't see it on the tape? They were down 33-0.
But like, why do we care about this? Like the idea that the coach publicly saying it, like this just harkens back to all the different issues that I have with people's reactions to head coaches or what we expect from head coaches. Like the idea that a coach would say, like, we don't know what is said behind closed doors. The idea that publicly you have to alienate guys, today's day and age, that might have been a motivator for players in past years. It doesn't, these guys making this kind of contract and this kind of standing inside an organization, like, whatever you say inside the room, fine. And you want to, you know, give guys less snaps or whatever, fine. But to publicly come out and shame these guys, it doesn't work. Nobody does it anymore. And yet the fan base still expects it on a, and it's not just Ulbrich. It's what, oh, he's got to watch the tape. Or like we were killing Brian Daboll for all the stuff he's saying postgame. Obviously, you're killing my guy, you know, our guy, Aaron Boone, for everything he says in the postgame.
Yeah,
no, of course, because that's what it is. It's you have to kill these players publicly. Otherwise, there's no accountability. And it's just, it's the same crap we hear. But it's just, it makes me laugh. As the Jets clearly need a new head coach, they're going to start to obviously do more of these interviews, and as the season ends on Black Monday, they'll have more of these names. I would think Ron Rivera would be an underwhelming name. I don't think the Jets should go anywhere near Riverboat Ron. I think they need someone of, you know, that would be a failing. If they end up hiring Ron Rivera, it means they were spurned by how many different people?
They're looking like for experience. Yeah. That would be the only reason. Like, right. All right, okay.
Go get Vrabel. That's the guy you want to bring in here, absolutely. And for the Giants, I think they're safe, and I think they should be. I think what you saw on this game on Sunday, the one thing I guess you could take out of it, I certainly don't want to sing Brian Daboll's praises in how he played that game and how the team played the game, but if you give him a quarterback and you get good quarterback play, he's never had it. He's never had it. And it's time we actually give this guy ability at the quarterback position and see what he could do with it. And moving on from him and joining the one of the how many different teams now, looking for another head coach, looking for another GM, like it's just, I don't see any other way than going forward and plugging away with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and seeing if you could turn this thing around.
No, that's the only thing left to do. As we talked last week about not complicating this, we were unsure about that. No, I'm sure now. You let those guys change your draft position. You let them go out there and win that game like that. I think they're all in lockstep. They got one more game to lose. They might win it. And even if they do win it, they have no fear of being the eighth pick in the draft and trying to figure out their way. I just fear that you're not going to get the quarterback that you so desperately need to pair with this head coach. And like you said, to give him ability. Like, now you have Tyrone Tracy in the backfield behind whoever plays quarterback. Now you have Malik Nabers as the number one receiver. You have parts of an offensive line as well.
Right.
I think Illuminor likes being here and speaking up and being like a leader here. Andrew Thomas, you hope can stay healthy next year. John Michael Schmidt, I know this kid has had a rough go at it, but they might not give up on him right away. You have Runyon, you have pieces of an offensive line. I just see the offense being able to come together more. Theo Johnson will be back next year as your starting tight end.
Yeah.
You're a quarterback away from at least looking at offense being
no
like
doubt.
We can compete with this offense.
No doubt. They are quarterback. They are good quarterback
good
play
quarterback
away from having an offense that can score you 30 points every once in a while, which is just, I mean, like that's
all you need. That's
Patrick
Mahomes and the Chiefs can't do it.
I
and they win.
I know. 888-808-1019. Opened it up to the Jets a little bit, who just continue to be an absolute dumpster fire. I still think the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson can be salvaged if you decide to bring back Aaron Rodgers. I think they need a coach in that room in the worst way, and Riverboat Ron would not be my first choice. Let's go to Annabelle in Bridgeport. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year to you. How are you, buddy?
Okay, I'm doing good. Hope everything is good. I got a point on Peter Alonso.
Okay.
Peter Alonso was offered a contract by the New York Mets, and he declined it, and then he changed to Scott Boras. When he did that, me as a Mets fan, I said, oh, boy, here we go. This is going to be, I mean, Scott Boras is the scariest agent in Major League Baseball.
Why are we afraid of agents?
Because let me tell you, Scott Boras tried to get you the highest contract.
Baseball's Bond villain, I know.
Okay, the point that I want to make is I remember. I don't know if you guys remember. Remember Carlos Gonzalez played for the Colorado Rockies?
Sure. Sweet swing.
Yeah.
Cargo.
They offered Cargo. They offered him a big contract, and he denied it. And at the end of that, he played for pennies.
Yeah, but we know that. He turned down a contract that he's not going to get back. He's not going to get that offer back. It's going to be less than that. The question is whether or not the him and the Mets are going to come to a deal. And so
the only thing that I think is I hope that Pete Alonso doesn't get into that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's in that
Carlos
situation.
Carlos Gomez is. I'm thinking of there's a cargo,
yeah.
And then there's Carlos Gomez, who is like a more of a like loud mouth.
I think he meant cargo, though, because I
no,
do remember.
No, he meant cargo, but yeah, I'm thinking, where did cargo go after the Rockies?
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember.
Like, did he not?
He didn't have much of a career. He had a couple of good years, and then it went down on him quickly. But to Pete Alonso, here's the point of Pete. That's already gone. We know that. That contract's not coming back. Look at the market. There's no market for him. It's completely falling apart. All the teams have got it's I would think that the San Francisco Giants have to be desperate to do something. Like they cannot continue to be the bridesmaid over and over and over and over again. They have lost out to everyone. They have tried to sign every big free agent and everybody spurns them. They have to get someone, and they have an opportunity right now in Pete Alonso to bring in a home run hitter. Bring him on probably a shorter-term deal and pay him a little bit of money. Like, if they, right now, the contract that's out on the table for the Mets is 3 years and $90 million. So they've offered him 3 for $30. Like, I would bump that up a little bit if I'm them just to get a player here. If I need the opt-out, I'll offer him the opt-out. Something just to make a splash if you're the Giants. Get someone to come here. We all know it'll be their second choice, that he'd rather be a Met. But I don't think the Mets are going to budge from that. I heard a lot of news today. I don't think the Mets are looking to sign Pete Alonso. I really don't. We talked about this last week. I don't think it's their be-all, end-all to bring back Pete Alonso. I think they've offered him 3 for $90, and until he proves that he can get better, they are not going to move off that dollar. And even if he does prove that he can get better, I think they'd say, go ahead, take it.
So
I don't think they are just waiting the market out. I think they're waiting Pete Alonso out.
The Pete Alonso stuff I'll get to in a minute. I fell down a rabbit hole trying to figure out where cargo went.
Right.
He had a year with the Cleveland Indians, and then he had some time with the Chicago Cubs, but not really like didn't really break through with them. 30 games with the Indians, 15 games with the Cubs. But, I mean, he was all-star with the Rockies. I actually got to meet him back in 2014. Forgot about that guy and what ended up, you know, happening with him. But then there's obviously the other Carlos Gomez, who, you know, he played for Tampa. I think he also played for the Mets. And, you know, he was most famously a Milwaukee Brewer. Anyway, back to Pete Alonso. Yeah, Carlos Gomez wore number 91 with the Mets. It sucks for Pete. I listened to Moose's open, and he was talking about, you know, New Year's and New Year's resolutions and reflecting on the year. And, man, this time of year, I always get sappy. I always get emotional. I always get deep in thought of the year that was, what happened this year, what didn't happen this year, the people we lost this year. I don't know. When they hit that, what's it called, Auld Lang Syne?
Yeah.
When I hear that every year, I'm like, damn, just to think about like going from a year to another year.
Right.
And Pete Alonso, what a year he had in a prove it year. What a year he didn't have in a year to bet on himself. And he might be kicking himself a little bit, leaving money on the table, but that's a risk that he took. And now with the Bond villain of baseball, the most feared agent, the evil villain that, you know, Scott Boras is, we saw the league basically tell Scott Boras no last year. There was no way they were going to tell him no with
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto.
Yeah, it's too good
a client. It's just a funny coincidence that the Mets were the ones that got Juan Soto all that money.
Yeah.
And now their guy, Pete Alonso, they gave all that money to Juan Soto. They don't have to give Pete Alonso that. Right. Think about when that offer was out there. Juan Soto was a Yankee. Juan Soto wasn't being bid for yet. Now that money's dried up. It's not there. Yeah. And ultimately, I think Pete Alonso is going to have to decide, do I want to stay here with this team now that it has Juan Soto and just, you know, kind of be humble and take the money?
That's the thing.
And it's not, you know, it's not really easy. It's not even humble money. $30 million a year.
No, I know. But it's less. Here's the thing.
It's less than he ever thought he really was going to get.
I heard Moose and he referenced Strawberry. And obviously Strawberry has always regretted going to the Dodgers instead of staying with the Mets. I get it. And Pete wants to be a Met. I don't think there's any doubt. But you got to, like, you're right. It's not bad money. But it's less money than he was offered. This is why it's tough to negotiate with. It's a lot less than what he was offered. So, I mean, he has to go there and say, all right, you offered me this money last year. I know I said no, and I know I tested the market or, you know, bet on myself. I hit the biggest home run of the season, right? I was with you all year. I battled for you.
David Stern said that was a fluke.
I came. You're telling me now I'm worth less than that? You're going to look me in the face and tell me I'm worth less.
No, I don't think he could do it again.
It's one of those things where he just saw them give $765 million to Juan Soto.
Who's not, you know, hasn't even stepped in the batter's box for the Mets.
They've spent money on, they've offered big contracts to Max Scherzer. They offered big contracts to Justin Verlander, big money.
Giving away suites and clothing allowances.
They offered him a contract
last
year. He bet on himself, and he has to understand that there is losing that bet. He bet on himself, and he lost it in some ways. But it's hard to go back to the team that you have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in and look them in the face and say, that offer's not back on the table. I'm worth less to you after last year. That great year we had last year, I hit that big home run. I hit home runs in the postseason. We got to the NLCS. And you're going to tell me I'm less then?
Yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
That's what Stearns does.
It's easy to just say, hey, you got to come to grips with the reality. Okay. That's an organization he feels like he put a lot of LFGM, like
that's
all
the
that
past.
Like I know. I'm not saying, but
now it's Sotomatic. Now it's Sotomania.
Right. Yeah, but that's a bitter pill to swallow.
One night I was on talking
and if he's
about
offered the same money or more from someone else.
But who the market right now?
I think someone's gonna step up.
Maybe
and I would think
one team, and like I said, that'll probably come once we get closer to camp and teams assess what they have in their entire lineup at the position, and then you'll get like a Diamondbacks who went out there and got Jordan Montgomery last minute last year. They regretted it, but they still went and got him. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, for them to get Corbin Burnes, I remember I was on with you last week, and Mark Feinstein reported that Corbin Burnes was looking for a $245 million deal.
Yep.
He came in $35 million less, taking $210 from Arizona and chalked it up to, the taxes. I'm already here. I want to be on the West Coast. This will do.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to keep waiting. Well, when I talk about Stearns, I vividly remember Corbin Burnes being upset about how arbitration went when he was with the Milwaukee Brewers over a couple $100,000.
Correct.
The difference was like they viewed him at $10 million. He viewed himself at $10.7 million.
Yep.
And that's how he wanted to get out of Milwaukee. David Stearns has no problem looking at Pete Alonso and the numbers that he put up in the regular season. He wasn't clutch during the regular season.
Right.
He struggled until the very last minute, the last leg, and came through and saying, we believe you're more like what you showed over the course of seven months than the last month of the season. This is the offer. Take it or leave it. And I think
I get it.
I think he's prepared. They've got options. I think he's prepared to move on without Pete Alonso.
I get it. I totally agree with you. But I'm just saying, for Pete Alonso to look at them and go, okay, wait a minute. You know, as an owner, you've done everything you could to support this franchise and do what the fans wanted and be a Met guy. You've built statues. You've made Old Timers Day. You've done everything you can. I was the guy when there wasn't
was
a
DeGrom.
Guy. I was exactly right. And I'm just saying that's...
So was Buck Showalter. Mary Buck missed.
Right, and DeGrom left. And what I'm saying
is... And they kicked Buck Showalter to the curb. They're ready to do the same to Pete.
I don't disagree. My point is, you want Pete to be emotional about something when they have zero interest in being emotional about it.
Yeah.
Like, you want Pete to just go, oh, man, I could leave in my history and this and that, but I go to the owner and say, hey, man, for a couple $1 million more, sorry, Stearns is running the show. Okay, then I'm going to leave. Like, I just think that that's... But I agree with everything you're saying. That's why I think Pete's going
to
be gone.
To go live in the Bay Area and be a San Francisco Giant, maybe. Those are rumors. Let's see the contract offer. Let's see the deal. Let's see the actual money out there. And this
the
is
worst,
what I'll
say
about...
It's a worse ballpark for a left-handed hitter than a right-handed hitter. He can go hit some home runs.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's greener pastures for Pete. I think this Mets team is going to be a contender again. Mm-hmm. I think that... For his legacy and what he's already done in the Mets uniform, it makes sense to stay here. He's been vocal about wanting to stay and be here. I think that when, no matter what he signs for with the Mets, he's going to have a better year than he had last year. Soto's in the lineup, and it won't be a prove-it year, and he will make more money in New York with the new rebrand that the Mets are under. He will make more money in the next few years being a Met and even taking a little bit less. Where, like, I just think it would be a mistake to leave for $100 million versus $90 million or $110 million an extra, let's say it's an extra year, then $120 million in an extra year to go play for the San Francisco Giants and get drummed by the Dodgers and the Padres in your division. Might not even be able to get with the Diamondbacks.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if I think that they're pointing towards a breakup. I think
so too, because Pete Alonso's got to have some pride, and he will, and say, nah, I think I'm worth more than this, but I don't think he wants to do a short-term prove-it deal. I think he wants to be a part of the Mets and continue now with Juan Soto being here. He just wants his respect. He wants his money. He feels like he deserves it and earned it before this year and what he did in the postseason.